Let's look at the convention and its impact on the state party. Two ways of looking at it. One is when countries sign the convention, does it, in your view, have an impact on how heritage is looked after inside the country? Mm. And the second part is this clause that's in the convention about saying that countries will do no harm to other countries,
yeah.
World heritage.
Mm.
I don't know if you have views on either part of that, but maybe start with inside the countries.
Inside the country, inside countries, and I want to particularize our own situation. In sub-Saharan Africa, is the issue of awareness of what it was. I told you that I ran an organization. I mean, I was head of a World Heritage Site, unaware of the fact that it was a World Heritage Site. And from 1983 until 1995, I was not aware. I have a situation of someone from who attended a workshop in, in Tanzania. He was coming from Manapul's World Heritage Site, and it was a workshop on natural heritage sites. And they then introduced, you could understand CITES, that convention on, you could understand that. But you couldn't understand what World Heritage Convention was all about. And yet he was the site manager of a World Heritage site, you know. If you look at the current periodic report, it shows the level of unawareness of even practitioners about what it means to have World Heritage Sites and what it is, let alone the conventions themselves. So that's one. It even becomes, and this is one, my central thesis regarding to all conventions. There's a disconnect between the state party and those who are most affected by that, notwithstanding the fact that the convention says this convention must have meaning to those who are closest to it and all that kind of thing. There's a disconnect in the sense that those who are next to it are unaware that it is a World Heritage and mind you, up until recently it was not even prescribed that you needed to include local communities in the process of the nomination. So these sites would be prescribed without even the people aware of that they were being inscribed. Now I think it's getting more because in the evaluation process there is need and evidence required that the communities who are most affected also have given their consent and have been approached. It's the operational guidelines that have increasingly, and particularly the latest, that have increasingly made it clear that you have to have a consultation process and so on. So there is that disconnect. Yeah. And when I say so, it applies to many conventions, almost all.
Yeah.
The only convention that I think has made the effort to involve the people is the 1992 convention on biodiversity. That one I see it as a model. Now coming to the issue, the second question that you raised, which relates I think to Article 6 of the convention relating to the cooperation of states, which is assumed. I do recall I was involved in drafting the nomination dossier of Suko Cultural Landscape, the first in Nigeria. Suko does not end in Nigeria, it goes on to Cameroon. But because of their differences, things have never worked that way. So it's all, should I say, it really falls into the realm of political cooperation. If you don't have that, then it doesn't work. Article 6 cannot work in the absence of political goodwill and understanding.